I was a Catholic boy growing up in Orlando, Florida. Pre-Disney, by the way. Lots of orange groves. And I was full-on Catholic, altar boy and all. And I can honestly say that Palm Sunday was my absolutely favorite Sunday. More than Easter, more than Christmas. Here's why. It was a big celebration. Do you feel the celebration? Right? It was about Jesus' triumphal entry. It's triumphant. I love the palms. You know, we get palms. We get singing. You know, we get the donkey. The donkey was one of my favorite things. The big church downtown had a real donkey that came down the front of the aisle. And us kids would be in the mock procession. Every Palm Sunday, I'd get to carry palm branches down the aisle before Mass started. It was great. It was awesome. What could be better than that? They'd hand out the palms, and as soon as we get in the car, we would start weaving the palms into crosses and a crown of thorn bracelets and braids, you know, we'd weave the palms. My mom would drape her palm leaves, palm branch, over the picture of Jesus in our living room, along with the one from last year. You see, palm branches were blessed, so we were not allowed to throw them out as trash. Couldn't throw them out. We had to keep them as long as we wanted them until the bugs started eating them or the dust or something. And then we would return the palms to the church. They would be incinerated, and then they'd be used for Ash Wednesday, the next year. So this very palm here that I'm wearing on my wrist or that I've woven into a braid could very much be smudged on my forehead in approximately 325 days from that day. What could be cooler than that? And of course, as I got older, I also appreciated the fact that it was the last Sunday in Lent. In a few days, I could go back to doing that thing I gave up, whatever it was then. Beyond all that, Palm Sunday really didn't hold any spiritual meaning for me. In Catechism, of course, we're told that Jesus' purpose in riding into Jerusalem that day was to declare publicly his claim to the people that he was their king and the Messiah they had been waiting for. It had been planned to show that he was the one and only Son of God. Those who lined the streets were Jesus' followers. And even though I was just a kid, I never really warmed up to that. It did sound right to me. Declare yourself king and then be crucified a few days later? That's a tragic story. Nothing victorious about that, right? Besides, it didn't fit into the image that I had for Jesus. You see, when I was growing up, I saw Jesus as the superhero. I was really into superheroes, and Jesus was the best. He had all these cool superpowers. He could read minds. He could predict the future. He could walk on water and heal people with a touch. He could produce food out of thin air, you know? And like Batman or Spider-Man, he'd swoop in and rescue the damsel in distress at the very end. It was great. But he was also the leader of a resistance, a real rebel resistance like Luke Skywalker. Or Katniss from the Hunger Games, right? A real superhero. And what real superhero ever stood up and said, I am your Messiah you've been waiting for, follow me. No, that's usually the guy that turns into the villain in the movies, right? The real heroes are there to serve humanity, not to rule over it. So this triumphal entry, it's reported in all four Gospels, one of the few activities of Jesus that is reported in all four Gospels, so chances are pretty good that it actually happened. And a teacher of mine at Unity Institute, Don Jennings, is not with us anymore. He said that Jesus never taught anything that he did not demonstrate. So I tried to decide, what was it that Jesus is demonstrating to his followers this day, on this day? Well, if you were here last year, you learned from Reverend Paula's talk that the day of Passover, on that particular Passover, around the year 30, there were two processionals that day. The other procession was no surprise. It happened every year through the West Gate, and that's when the Roman Imperial Army, led by Pontius Pilate, would enter the city with their gold armor and their helmets glittering. They had their cavalry on steeds. They're brandishing their weapons. They're marching to the drums and waving flags. It was all meant to show Roman dominance over the Jews. And it was meant to intimidate the Jews into behaving themselves. And many of the Jews of the day resented that. They resented it. Because after all, Passover was the celebration of their liberation from Egypt. And here was their current oppressor now giving them this little finger wag, you better behave yourself. So it was very likely that some rebellious outbreaks could occur during the Passover. And in fact, one did. We learned from historians and Bible scholars in recent years, and is actually corroborated by Zhen Dekian, our amazing guest speaker last week, that this Jesus' triumphal entry was very likely nothing more than a staged protest rally against the high priests, against the Jewish purity system, and against Rome, their occupation, and Rome's rival theology. See, Rome thought that their ruler was the only Son of God. They called him Lord and Savior. They said that when he died, he was going to ascend into heaven and sit at the right hand of his Father. Sound familiar? Isn't it ironic that that rival theology that Jesus was protesting that day actually became the religion that built up around him? Well, according to John, the protest rally began the night before at an honor to honor him at the house of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. It turned into a huge celebration. And that's where the Jesus for Messiah meme got started. You know, like the Oprah for President meme after the Oscars. Someone may have said, we need a guy like Jesus to liberate us from Rome. And then before you knew it, Jesus for Messiah spread. And by the time he got to the gate, there were hundreds of people waiting for him there. You know, riding a donkey into a city meant that you come in peace. King David did it when he returned from war, rode a donkey into Jerusalem. Palm branches have long been a symbol of peace and praise. So it's possible that these were just known gestures that the people were using, not necessarily intended to make Jesus look like the Messiah. But we can never really know for sure. But here's the thing. Jesus predicted his death several times before he entered into the city. He knew that Caiaphas and all the high priests were after him. They were trying to have him dead. Plus, there was a lot of anti-Jesus sentiment in the city up to that point for the Jewish people. He certainly had no friends in Rome. So he was taking a big chance. Yet, here he came, his one-man processional. No steeds, but a donkey. No swords, just palm branches. No show of strength or dominance, but humbleness. The Roman procession praised their emperor as the Son of God. Well, Jesus' procession sent the message that all people are children of God. The Romans waved their banners of gold, marched to the sounds of drums. Jesus' procession waved palm branches of peace. And they chanted, Hosanna in the highest, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Pilate's procession proclaimed the power of the empire, whereas Jesus' procession proclaimed the kingdom of God. Jesus' message was, he was sending the message that the real power comes not from the might, but from the presence of Spirit of God within each person. So he didn't sneak into town unnoticed. He rode into the city with a flourish and a fanfare, mocking both the Romans and the high priests all in one fell swoop. And he didn't stop there. The next day he had his famous temple tantrum. And that drew a lot of attention, got a lot of people mad. He didn't. And after that, he confounded the priests twice in front of their followers, asking them, give unto Caesar's what is Caesar's. He healed on the Sabbath. He called his killers to be vipers and hypocrites. That's what we'd call today large cojones, right? That took some you-know-whats. This was not Jesus. I just wanted to see if you're paying attention. This was not Jesus saying, kneel and worship me. Okay, this was Jesus saying, I'm willing to die for you. It was Jesus at a Texas Hold'em match saying, I'm all in. I'm all in on this one. Now, some of you have heard me mention, maybe in my classes, how I love to play this, do this exercise when I read the New Testament. And I put a little twist on the game, what would Jesus do? And I play, what would Richard do? I put myself in the place of Jesus as I read these stories. And I ask myself, well, what would I have done in that situation? You see, I was always trying to figure out, if I'm the same as Jesus, then why can't I raise the dead? You know, why can't I heal like that? So I put myself in Jesus' place. It's very revealing. So I imagine myself outside the tomb of Lazarus, and I'm thinking, could I call Lazarus from this grave he'd been in for 4 days with any kind of expectation that he'd come out? I can honestly say I would be as surprised as anybody I saw anything moving there, I would say, Lazarus, come forth. And then I just cross my fingers for the best. And then go, oh my God. I would like freak out. I would freak out. When he was feeding the 5,000, he blessed the loaves and fishes and then asked them to pass it out. Richard would have said, better start with the disciples first. I'm not sure this is going to pan out like I planned. You know? At the wedding of Canaan, which, by the way, we also learned last week from Jen, was actually the wedding of Yeshua and Miriam. Think about it. It really, really makes sense. After Jesus had turned the water to wine, he told the steward, now draw a glass and take it to the host. The fine wine to the host. So what would Richard do? Now draw a glass of wine and bring it to me. I want to make sure it's turned to wine before I send the host a glass of water. I'm bragging about how good my wine is. You see, Jesus didn't have to check the wine. Why would I? See, it's very revealing if you're honest with yourself. And now this, Palm Sunday. What would Richard do? That to me was the question that I needed to answer to find out what Palm Sunday was really all about for me. Unity's co-founder, Charles Fillmore, said that Palm Sunday symbolizes the physical nature coming under control of the spiritual nature. It's symbolized by Jesus upon the beast, our Christ nature, dominating our animal nature. Gethsemane was the classic battle of spirit over flesh, between doubt and faith. It was Jesus getting back in touch with the part of himself that was his divine identity. He sought union with God so that he could gain strength from that, gain strength and wisdom to continue. And we do have modern examples of this kind of courage, of course. Martin Luther King Jr., he was all in for his idea, right? They say that he knew of his assassination threat before he stepped out on that balcony in Memphis. Martin clearly acted from a sense of greater good over self-preservation. His physical nature came under control of his spiritual nature. Mahatma Gandhi was continually getting death threats from Indian citizens who didn't agree with his philosophy of nonviolence, nonviolent resistance. They wanted, like Jesus, they wanted a leader to lead a military coup against their oppressors. They wanted Gandhi to lead the military against Britain. But Gandhi knew that violence was not the answer. He knew that this was his chance to prove it. What did all free men have in common? And I use Gandhi and King because it's the season for nonviolence right now. We're nearing the end of it. And this is the season for nonviolence is to honor Gandhi and King. All three of these guys had deep roots in their faith. Jesus was a Jewish rabbi. King was a Christian preacher. Mahatma Gandhi was a devout Hindu. In fact, Mahatma is a Hindu title of honor that they had given him. So you see, this wasn't the divine Jesus. This wasn't the Jesus that walked on water and rose up from the dead or healed the blind with a touch. This was Jesus, the man, the real guy, exhibiting extraordinary courage and confidence. He did what he knew God would do if God were there. Okay? If God were one of us, this is what he would do. He became God in this world. That's why Christianity uses Jesus and God kind of interchangeably. And that's really correct, but what they missed was that Jesus was trying to tell us is that we're all God in this world. We can all be God in this world. And there's the Palm Sunday lesson for our times. And it's that Jesus did not pray to God to free the Jews. Martin Luther King did not pray to God to rewrite the civil rights laws. Gandhi did not pray to the British for release India from its rule. Instead of praying for a solution, these men took on the role of that to which they would pray. They became God in the world. And we saw the courage of the Christ exhibited yesterday all around the globe in the March for Our Lives rallies. Very inspiring. And what courage that took. It was teenage activism against gun violence. Millions of people, over 800 cities around the world. We're talking Reykjavik, Iceland, and Ghana, Africa. All around the world. And it was spearheaded by the children, the survivors of the Parkland, Florida shootings, and it was motivated by those empty actions of the politicians, promising to pray for their victims and their families in the wake of that terrible tragedy. So you see, they were not, they understood that they had to be God in the world. Their Rome is the NRA. They also waved palm branches instead of weapons. Yes, Jesus prayed. Yes, King prayed. Yes, Gandhi prayed. But they were not asking God to solve their problem and then sitting back and watching to see what happened. They prayed for the sole purpose of aligning themselves with the divine within them so that they would know what to do and then have the courage and the confidence to do it. Linda Martella Whitsitt, who wrote the book How to Pray Without Talking to God, said that the only reason to pray is so that we can identify ourselves with our divine inner divinity and then live more fully from it. It's exactly what Jesus was doing. That's why Unity has affirmative prayer. Affirmative prayer is not praying to God, it's praying as God. It helps us identify with our divine identity. So Palm Sunday begins Holy Week. It's the week that leads up to Easter, Christianity's most holy day. But for me, it's Palm Sunday that holds the real message, the most powerful meaning. Easter asks us to believe in a miraculous event, a supernatural miracle that was attributed to Jesus, most likely in an effort to legitimize a young Christian church. It's an event that's shrouded in mystery. It's unproven. Unity churches, a lot of, on Easter, we're kind of forced to come up with a metaphysical interpretation of Easter just to keep it relevant for us as Christians. But Palm Sunday, Jesus' triumphal entry, on the other hand, that was a real event that almost certainly happened. There's no mystery around it. We weren't asked to believe in any miraculous event or grant Jesus deity status because of it. This was no miracle. It was just Jesus doing what he does best, demonstrating the spiritual power and courage that exists in each of us, the courage of the Christ. Not the courage of Christ, but the courage of the Christ. So Palm Sunday is about courage, yes, but it's also about social action, social justice. It's about allowing our higher nature to guide our decisions. It's about our interconnectedness and our interdependence. It's about being a witness to a higher purpose. Palm Sunday is about knowing the truth of who you are. A Christed being. So if Easter is about overcoming death, Palm Sunday is certainly about conquering life. Palm Sunday was Jesus at his most human and at his most divine. So this Palm Sunday, we have to ask ourselves but one question. Which procession will you be a part of? Let's prepare for meditation now, please. I'm going to sing us into meditation with a song that I wrote because it was the first time I had felt that inner divinity in me and the power to lift me from victim to victor. I heard the voice that said, you know, if you believe it, then act like it. Hush, my child, I heard the voice say, from the dark night of my soul, things are not as bad as they seem, and you are stronger than you know. Thank you.
my own heart I found strength and the courage to go on. And when I faced my fears, I could see they were all just illusions. Myself say, you are not weak, you are not helpless, you are not feared, you are not judgment, you are whole, you are worthy, you are the way.
The only way to peace is the way of God. And no one exemplified the way of God more than Jesus. All the qualities of courage and confidence, and compassion, wisdom, peace, commitment, all present in his words and deeds. So as we just take a few deep breaths and allow our attention to turn inward, comfortable in our seats, close our eyes if that's good for you. Begin to see our breath going in and out. And with every inhale, think of invitation. When I breathe in that very life breath of God, I am inviting the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, the energy of God to quicken me. With every exhale, think of surrender. Every time we release that breath, we're surrendering to the will of God, like Jesus in Gethsemane. Every exhale, a surrender. Every inhale, an invitation. The courage to face any challenge, confidence to take the next step, compassion to help those less fortunate, commitment to a higher purpose for your life. All these qualities are alive in you, just as they were in Jesus. And we bring these qualities to life in ourselves when we recognize and honor them in others. So now as we center ourselves, allow to come into your mind that Palm Sunday processional 2,000 years ago. On a warm spring day in Jerusalem, you've chosen the procession of peace. You're at the East Gate. And as you see Jesus entering through the gate, your spirit is quickened by his example of courage and his commitment to his message. That quickening you feel, that's the recognition in you of that same courage and commitment. This man seems almost godlike. You're moved to follow him. But that desire, that's the God in you recognizing the same in Jesus. It doesn't say follow me, it says be me, express me. As we enter into a few moments of sacred silence together, let's imagine ourselves not on the side of the road, waving our palm branches and singing Hosanna. But imagine yourself on that donkey. You're riding in. You're being cheered. You're being praised for what you're doing. You're being honored for your courage and your commitment. Songs of praise are being sung to you. You can feel the love and the adoration of the multitude lifting you up. Just bathe in that praise now for just a few moments in the silence. I am the way of God. I am the expression of the divine. I am the same light that is in me is in Christ Jesus. The same light that is in Christ Jesus is in me. So when the path before you seems too much to take, just remember who you are. Take a breath and say, I am not weak. I am not weak. I am not helpless. I am not helpless. I am not fear. I am not fear. To bring to mind the example of courage of the Christ. It was in Jesus that